Thank you, Carol, for the introduction, and certainly thank you to Cedar for the invitation to come down here today and share a few brief thoughts with you on what's been a fairly long journey of water reform in Victoria. When I first joined the water industry in Victoria some 27 years ago, we had some 370 statutory bodies associated with the delivery of water and sewerage. It's a structure that is inconceivable today, I guess, in terms of the water industry. And it was primarily responsible, obviously, for the inefficiency and poor management of the water and sewerage services we provided to Country Victoria at the time. Our structural reform program began in 1984, and as Kevin said, Dr. John Patterson left Hunter. He came down to Victoria, actually. And I can assure you that he was small in stature. He was an intellectual giant. He was a reformist zealot. He's done a lot for the reform of bureaucracies around Australia. And he was one tough little bastard. Unfortunately, we lost him a couple of years ago. But certainly in 84, we commenced the journey of reform in Victoria. And over the next 10 years, we got that 140 water authorities that came out of a government-led public bodies review committee. We got that down to some 83 authorities through some natural attrition, organisations going broke, and some sort of forced shotgun arrangements that took place at the time. But certainly, even when we were at that stage, the 83 authorities certainly lacked the resources and expertise in many areas to undertake the role, really, of managing water in a commercial manner. 94, or October 93, we had the election of the Kennett government in Victoria, and I think it's pretty well known that the state economy in Victoria was in pretty bad shape at the time. So the election of the Kennett government, we saw a lot of reform. And we certainly had a big bang approach to reform of the GBEs in Victoria. And water was no exception. And there were really three key drivers for the reform program at that time. One was to gain efficiency through amalgamations and the introduction of commercial management principles into water utilities. Provide incentives to customers through tariff reform. Remove property-based taxes for pricing of water and sewerage and encourage water conservation and cleaner production technologies and so forth within businesses, and to separate the provision of water and sewerage from local government. The amalgamation process was really about capturing economies of scale in both the delivery of services from an operational point of view and the investment of capital expenditure going forward to address the inefficiencies in the system. We certainly did focus on improving the efficiency and the way and the quality of water that was to be delivered to Country Victoria. And we're about creating organisations that had the capacity in going forward to attract competent commercial and technical management into the industry, which was sadly lacking at that time, to substantially fund from internal resources the capital funding requirements of the businesses going forward, and to reduce debt. Of course, that was a key focus of the Kennett government during that era. And much of the investment over the last decade has been funded without debt, but certainly going forward over the next decade there will be substantial reborrowing by water utilities in Victoria. Commercial management. The mix of arrangements we had were replaced by board of directors appointed on the basis of their skills. And Kevin has alluded to the sorts of skills that are necessary in a water utility today from a board director's point of view. Their focus really was on the core business of urban and water sewerage services per se. And they had to have the capability of operating under similar conditions to a commercial company in operating under corporations' law-style regimes. We have far greater director and company legal liabilities imposed upon us, and we have operating contracts between the water utilities today and our state government, who's the shareholder of the business. The third most important reform change was there was no role for local government in water management going forward. Under the Kennett model, the future commercial management approach to water was not considered compatible with the management of water functions by municipal councils. The cross-subsidies, which were substantial, that existed between the water and sewerage functions and the other local government activities were substantial and they were to be eliminated by this process. And, of course, property valuation-based water rates were to be abolished, which has led to massive reduction in costs to commercial businesses in particular across Victoria. And the new regional water authority groupings were not going to be compatible with local government boundaries going forward. The key considerations that government took on board in shaping the future structure of our water corporations today was a capacity to be commercially viable. And at the time, that was $10 million in minimum revenue. Today, that would probably be something around $30 million. Our boundaries were to a very large extent based on, and still are based on, water catchments and water systems, natural water systems. Community of interest was a really key consideration, and I think it's obviously here today. I can get that feel. It's going to be a key consideration, I think, here in Tasmania, to take on board those regional communities of interest. We had to have a capacity to meet higher operating standards, and I think the same issues that applied in Victoria at the time I've heard the Minister talk about this morning, water quality, environmental performance of wastewater treatment plants, asset management, lack of asset management, and the lack of capacity to actually invest in fixing the infrastructure requirements going forward. We also had to have the capacity to provide a commercial return to government as a shareholder by way of dividends. And whilst we did pay some initial dividends in the early years, it's been many years now since the regional water utilities in Victoria paid dividends to the state. I should add that when the Victorian government reformed the water industry of Victoria, in terms of the country or the region, what we call the regional water industry, Mr Treasurer, they did kick in $390 million to facilitate debt retirement and to assist in the acceleration of our capital works program. And my organisation got $39 million of that cake. The structure today is quickly is 13 regional water corporations focused on the urban water industry. We have two large rural water corporations delivering irrigation services. We have Melbourne Water and three Melbourne retail water companies. I just intend to focus on the regional water industry in my presentation today. In country Victoria, that's what it looks like. And Golden Valley Water is about the third largest of those utilities in terms of business. Very quickly, a snapshot of our organisation, serving a population of about 120,000 people, some 53,000 connections. Major food bowl industry of Australia is in the Golden Valley, so we have a lot of food processing companies, about 15 at the present time. We employ 180 people across the business and also utilise the services of a lot of engineering consultants and other service providers. We service 54 cities and towns through 40 water supply systems and 26 wastewater treatment facilities across some seven municipalities in the region. Our business has a revenue of about $49 million this current financial year, and we plan to spend $24 million this financial year on capital infrastructure, and over the next 5 years, another $130 million on top of that. What have been the benefits to from the Victorian water industry reform? We certainly have an industry now that's very much focused on our core business of delivering water and wastewater infrastructure services. Pay-for-use water and sewage tariffs have been introduced across the state with significant reductions in water consumption per se as a result of that, and obviously significant benefits to business in particular. We have adopted a regional approach to water pricing in most utilities now in Victoria, and at Golden Valley Water we have a postage stamp pricing that's been achieved over a number of years, where everyone today, regardless of what system they come out of, pays the same price for their water and sewage services. The efficiency savings have been invested back into new infrastructure, and they've been quite significant and have been a major part of the capacity to internally fund a major part of our capital program. And of course, there's been a significant economies of scale in capital and operations that we've been able to capture. Initially, those operational savings were around 30-35% from OPEX in those early years, and from a capital point of view, we've certainly been able to rationalise the way infrastructure services going forward have been delivered by building quite a number of regional water treatment facilities and wastewater treatment facilities to service a number of cities and towns rather than individual site-by-site infrastructure that was occurring in the past. There's been an unprecedented level of infrastructure investment in Victoria over the last 11 years. We've invested over $2 billion in country Victoria alone. And that has been substantially funded by water utilities, with perhaps no more than 5% contribution from the state government through various investment programs. And that still has a very low level of debt at the present time. There's been substantial improvement in drinking water quality and effluent management right across the state. The small towns and small communities have been the big winners from the reform program. They've seen new infrastructure go in, they've seen their towns sewered, they've seen filtered water supplied, and they've seen their tariffs go down by as much as 50%. We've also had the capacity to invest in new technology, and as Kevin said, SCADA systems and asset management systems are now a key part of the infrastructure that's necessary to operate a modern water utility company. We also have the capacity to attract and retain quality management, technical and scientific capabilities, and I think that's absolutely essential for the management of water going forward into the 21st century. We've eliminated those cross-subsidies from water to local government. We have skills-based boards of directors in place that provides a good risk to, a good mix of people to help drive the business. I think it's always a significant challenge to make sure you get the right people, and the political process can sometimes be difficult to manage in that area. We've certainly removed the infrastructure impediments to economic growth in most regions now of Victoria, and certainly in the Goulburn Valley. We're much more efficient and better focused, or we have much more efficient and better focused local government units across Victoria. And we have a great level of cooperation existing between local government and water corporations on planning issues and long-term investment decisions. From what I've heard this morning and what I've read previously, coming down here, I think the issues that you face today here in Tasmania are not unlike Victoria in the 90s. The issues of long-term sustainability, the management of water resources, the financial viability of your businesses, and the capacity to actually undertake that infrastructure investment that is quite clearly has been identified as needing to be undertaken. I think tariff reform is an absolute priority in Tasmania, from what I've heard and read. It's a significant need for improved drinking water quality and sewage services in many parts of Tasmania, which was the same in Victoria, and there's a need for better long-term water and sewage infrastructure planning and investment by utilities. There's also a lack of, the lack of infrastructure is a constraint to the economic development of Tasmania, as the Minister alluded to this morning. And certainly the water quality situation can be a significant threat, I think, to Tasmania's major industry, which is tourism. And we had a very similar threat in the Goulburn Valley prior to the reform of the industry, which was seen as poor water quality was seen as a significant threat to our major food processing industries, which are very heavily focused on exports. And contamination of products from poor drinking water quality in that process would have had a significant detrimental impact on the capacity of those businesses to go forward. We've talked about regulatory oversight, economic regulation, health and drinking water quality and environmental issues are certainly regulatory issues that need to be carefully considered. In Victoria, we have a very strong EPA that enforces operating licences for wastewater treatment plants. We have a drinking water quality regulator now. We've had the Safe Drinking Water Act introduced a couple of years ago that sets the standards and compliance requirements for water utilities. And we have an economic regulator called the Essential Services Commission, who plays an important role. But I would caution that in considering an economic regulator, Mr Minister, you have a very careful look at the Victorian model, because it is very heavy-handed, it's intrusive, and it's very costly. It's debatable whether the benefits actually outweigh the costs of providing that regulatory oversight. Future structures, will it be a regional model? Will it be the state model? I think they're things for you to carefully consider, but certainly the Minister's made it clear that the status quo is not an option going forward. The ownership and governance of the assets, that was a similar debate that we had in Victoria, but at the end of the day, all of the assets belong to the Crown. The reform wasn't going to take the assets away from anyone. They were still going to continue to service the people. And really, at the end of the day, the key issue, I think, in the community's mind is the quality of the service they get, how well it's delivered, and the actual cost of the things that matter most to our customers. Issues to consider. Fully integrated water and sewage businesses. I think the Victorian regional model is a proven model. And it may offer significant benefits to regional communities in Tasmania and to the Tasmanian economy. Your population's about 500,000, so it's not a lot of people to service in the overall context of water and sewage services. I think the geographical spread of communities is an important issue for Tasmania to think about. They're very diverse, many are small towns and villages, but you do have three large regional centres that regional authorities could be based on, being Hobart, Launceston and the Devonport area. The region of community of interest as I said, is important. I think Tasmanian communities are probably fairly parochial. There's nothing wrong with that. We just need to recognise it going forward. In terms of commercial viability for a fully integrated water and sewage business, my view is I think you need something around 50,000 customers and minimum revenues about $30 million a year to be viable. And what could be, I think, a significant challenge to the type of model you adopt here is that in relation to the ownership of these businesses, that servicing multiple municipalities, continued ownership by local government may be an impediment to good governance and regional decision-making, given that each municipality is certainly in competition with each other for regional growth and economic development. I've mentioned a financial contribution from the state or the feds, I think, will be critical to ensure or facilitate the unbundling of water functions into a regional model if that's the way you decide to go. In conclusion, our future model could be three regional water businesses. They could be state-owned. Although I understand that the bulk water authorities, which are jointly owned, that could be a good model. It could be expanded. That will take a lot of goodwill, I think, from the current local government units to be able to work together to put in place a governance framework that ensures the independence in thinking and investment planning that would be necessary for those regional water utilities to have. And as I said, the government contribution, I think, is going to be important to the outcome there. I'll leave it there. Thank you.